Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here. And even if I am at home, Jesus, right now, in front of a computer, I can talk to you. And this is actually pretty cool, the connection that we have all over the world and the unity that we are living these days. So let's give thanks to our Lord for the experience of coronavirus, even if it's painful and annoying, because it's putting people together. And this is really a gift. Before I start reading the gospel that I want to read today, I want to mention that today in the get-together at Saugnash, we were talking with the residents about different personalities. Pat is reading a book about that, and Father Jerry knew the book too. And then we were making fun to each other, saying, well, you have this personality, you are more bossy, you are more whatever, you are more quiet, you are more choleric. And this is true. In the church, in the history of the church, we have all sorts of saints. Father Rocky says that he would like to write a book about fat saints, you know, saints that are really big, because he says that it's key for sainthood to be happy, and fat people are happy. So, and I was thinking, well, that's a great idea. And if you look at the catalog of the saints in history, you have all sorts of personalities. I was thinking, Thomas Aquinas, for example, was a very quiet guy, and the tradition says that he was so fat that they cut the table for him to put his belly and to be able to write or to read. And you have other saints like San Jose Maria or San Ignatius that were very energetic, and then they went to another countries. You have all sorts of saints. And this is the beauty of a following Jesus, that he's happy with your personality. And if you think, well, Father, but my personality is just I feel so useless regarding the Catholic Church. Look at the gospel for tomorrow's Mass. Jesus is preparing the Holy Week, the most important time in history, when Jesus was accomplishing his mission. Just think about it. Imagine that you are God, that you're Jesus, and that you, my Lord, preparing the institution of the Eucharist, the institution of priesthood, the institution of penance, and also the redemption of our sins in the cross. So you are very excited, Jesus. During this week, you were scared, but you were excited, thinking, I'm changing history forever. And then everything that Jesus did had a meaning. And then I want to read this part of the gospel that in a way talks about you and talks about me. Because Jesus was with his disciples about to enter in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And before entering, he went to Peter and probably John and said, go to this village, and immediately you will find an ass tied, a colt, like a little donkey. Untie him, and bring it to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs him. And the apostles did that. Jesus is preparing Holy Week. Imagine that you're preparing your wedding, the most important moment in your life. And then you're preparing the tables, the party is going to be here, the church is going to be this one, and then my wife is going to have, or my future wife is going to have these guests. Whatever. You're preparing something important. And you're taking care of the details, the flowers that I'm buying to her because she likes this color. Okay. So Jesus is preparing the moment in history. Your redemption, my redemption, Jesus. And in doing that, you're putting your heart there, Jesus. And you're using instruments. And you're not using perfect instruments. You're using the instruments that you need. And that's it. And that's what gives me hope. In this case, you needed a donkey. And you entered into the Holy Week riding on a donkey. And you think, wait a second, time out, Jesus. Why didn't you take a horse or an elephant? If you have seen Aladdin, you know, Aladdin comes with an elephant, like a circus, and it's noisy and it's spectacular. Or what about a horse or a camel? At least it's taller. More people would have seen you. And Jesus said, I want a donkey. And then San Jose Maria, founder of Opus Dei, loved donkeys. And in many centers, in many residences like Saugonach in the world, you will see that in some part of the house there are donkeys, little figures of donkeys. Because San Jose Maria was very devout to those animals. You know why? Because they work hard and they are humble. And this is what maybe for your prayer, for my prayer today, I want to consider the humility of a donkey. And the donkey is just a donkey. Doesn't do anything that I didn't expect this. It's very steady and it's very generous, right? If you go to a farm, some of you live in farms, I guess. So, because you're farmers. So if you go to a farm, you will see that many times the donkey is the guy that does the dirty jobs or the hard work. And he's reliable. And maybe he's not very attractive, but he's reliable. And in your life, Jesus, in my life, I want to be a donkey. I want to put yourself, I want to you, Jesus, to be on me. And to bring you to other places. And to enter into the Holy Week with this idea. I remember when I was in Rome, I went to a procession, Corpus Christi procession. I don't know if you have been in any of them, but it's a beautiful thing because they take the Eucharist and bring it to the streets of the city. Like what, as we do in Northridge, the first Friday of each month, that we put you, my Lord, on a monstrance and everything, everybody's seeing you. The next step would be to do it through the streets of a city. And then we did it in Rome, in a residence that I lived, we had 200 people, it was a huge complex. And the monstrance is spectacular. It's the most beautiful thing I've seen in my life. I don't know the price of that thing, but it has diamonds, emeralds, gold, silver, whatever you can imagine is there. And it's a beautiful piece of art, it's like this, 4 feet tall. And there you put the Eucharist. And then you need maybe 4, 6 guys to carry it on through the streets because it's heavy, it's beautiful. And I remember seeing it because after the procession, they put it down and then you could kind of observe and touch and contemplate the beauty of different angels, Saint Joseph, Mary. And the beautiful thing is that you put the monstrance on a donkey, actually. So the central figure there, and it's surrounded by beautiful, wonderful, amazing, inspiring saints and angels. But at the end, you put Jesus, like a nailed, because it's a metal thing, on a donkey. Again, this beauty of this animal that is not very attractive. It's kind of rude, actually, maybe. But it's docile, and at the same time, it is reliable. So maybe, my Lord, I want to learn this lesson, that I enter into the Holy Week and I want to be carrying you out throughout the whole world. I want you, my Lord, to use me. I've been preparing Easter or Holy Week through five weeks. A little distracted, to be honest, Jesus, with the coronavirus. I forgot about Lent sometimes. But anyway, I'm trying today at least to pray and to prepare myself. How can I prepare myself? Knowing that Jesus wants to use me as an instrument. That you are an instrument. Is what Jesus said to the apostles. If someone asks you, say, the Lord has need of him. In other words, Jesus is saying, I need you. This is the beauty of and the inspiring thing of the Holy Week and our redemption, that Jesus Christ is telling you, I need you. And you may think, I have so many defects. I have so many sins, Jesus. And especially maybe today, that it's been 3-4 weeks without going to confession. And I feel discouraged with my sins. And I feel that you cannot use me anymore as an instrument because I am dirty. Now is the moment to say, Jesus, change me. I don't have confession, but I have your love. And maybe these days that I cannot go to sacramental confession, if I commit a sin that is bothering me in my conscience, I want to make an act of contrition. And to say, Jesus, I am sorry. Or to say, Jesus, I love you. And then you don't fall into this temptation, which is very common, Jesus, the temptation of saying, well, I committed this sin, I cannot go to confession, so who cares? Let's keep sinning because otherwise it's so difficult. No, maybe that now is the moment to refrain your Lent and to say, wait a second, Jesus needs me. I feel dirty, but he needs me as a donkey. In this booklet, I've been reading it during in the mornings here at Sogonos. We pray before Mass for 30 minutes all together. It's beautiful. And I have this booklet, the Magnificat. I was telling the college guys the other day that I discovered a new saint in that booklet these days, and it's Saint Olga. And I didn't know anything about Saint Olga. It's a girl's name. I remember one of my sister's friends was Olga, but anyway, is that the only thing that I had about Olga. And I learned the other day that she was a princess from a kind of a Russian king back in the century, so it was not yet Russia. And then a tribe entered into the kingdom of this king and killed the king. They killed him in a war. And then she got the power. She was the empress. And she was a wild character. Speaking about, you know, personalities, she was a wild character. And then she did something crazy. She went after that tribe and found them. And then in a revenge that was out of control, she tortured all of them. And it was brutal. Some of them were burned alive. She put them, families, inside the house and then locked the door and burned the whole thing. Other people were buried alive. And she was there. So, no, I want them to suffer because they killed my dad. And then she went wild with that revenge, but she was not at peace afterwards. And then she was an empress. Later on, she went to Rome, but not because she was Catholic or anything, just on a trip for business or whatever. And then she discovered the Mass. She was invited to go to a Mass. Not being baptized, nothing. And then she went to a Mass. And then she saw the beauty of redemption. And then she asked, hey, what is this thing? And they explained to her a little bit. They gave a kind of a catechesis. And in the end, she ended up receiving baptism after some months. And not only that, she went back to Russia and spread the gospel throughout the whole country. And the millions of Russians, people, now are Christians because of her. She's the patroness of Russia. I think she did it with her husband or brother. I don't remember now. But the fact is that a person that was brutally, you know, enraged and committing those terrible crimes had a heart, and God was seeing her, and she said, you know, I can come back to be a normal person through Jesus Christ. And now in heaven, seeing God face to face. What about that? Jesus, she's Saint Olga is now in heaven. And I'm sure that the people that she killed were praying for her. And it was part of her conversion, the sacrifice of people being killed. And this is, you know, what is amazing about the history of the salvation, that God uses everything. Jesus, you my Lord, and your Father, and the Holy Spirit. They are using everything. They want to use you. So let's be very optimistic about our possibilities. Let's be very optimistic about our role in history. Being Christian, being Catholic, is the encounter with a person. There is an I myself, and as someone who wants to be with us. Many times we think about being Catholic as you cannot commit these sins, especially related with maybe sexuality or whatever, or stealing. Those are the things that maybe define your Catholicity with your neighbors, or you cannot smoke drugs or whatever because I'm Catholic. And then you have some bunch of rules, and you think that this is what it's to mean to be Catholic, almost like a cultural thing, you know? Or I am pro-life and I'm Catholic, you know, that kind of thing. Being Catholic is way more than that. It is an encounter. An encounter with a person that is very special. It's an encounter with Jesus Christ. I don't know if you have ever encountered or meet someone important. In my life, I had the chance to meet a Pope and to shake hands with Pope Benedict and to talk to him a little bit. I did the same with the King of Spain and the Queen of Spain for a very short moment. And maybe some soccer players that are famous in Spain, David Beckham, and some other people, you know, I mean, the Prelate of Opus Dei. When you meet those guys, and especially the Pope and the Prelate of Opus Dei, you know what happens? That you don't know what to say. You're kind of a numb. You just, I remember when I met Pope Benedict, I talked to him, and he talked to me, and I don't remember anything. And I called my mom, and I sent her some pictures to my dad. And what did he tell you? I said, I don't remember. You're an idiot. And he said, yeah, I'm sorry, but I was so excited that I was shocked. And I said things, but I don't remember a word. Because it is so impactful to see a Pope looking into your eyes, smiling, and you feel that there are no needs of words. It's an experience. I'm not a mystic or anything like that, but I'm telling you, it's an experience. It's something different. And if this happens with the Pope or with David Beckham, if you want, you know, imagine with Jesus Christ. Imagine, I mean, the power of Jesus. What is happening every time I talk to you, it is deep inside me, and it is an experience, and it should be better if I open my eyes better. And I don't want Jesus, I don't want to be scared of you because of my sins. I'm a donkey. Jesus doesn't love me. And Jesus needed a donkey to walk through people. And a lot of people, my Lord, was able to see you because you were raised on a donkey. And the kids in the street, because you were up there, they were able to see you and to scream, hey, Jesus, I love you, or whatever. Or the moms, or the many, many people were able to see you because you had a donkey. Without the donkey, it would have been more difficult. Let's apply this to the history of the world. I am nobody, Jesus. I am a sinner. You know better than myself. I committed a lot of sins. But at the same time, you want to use me as an instrument with my imperfections, with my sins. You want to save me. And this is the invitation of Holy Week. One of my sisters, the youngest one, you can pray for her, please. She's a nurse, and she's been taking care of a whole section in a nursing home these past weeks with people with coronavirus. Her name is Paz. And she was telling me, I talked to her yesterday, that she met, and she was witness, she's been witness of very powerful experiences. People dying. She's seen people that she knows very well dying in her arms, and it was pretty moving. When she was telling me, she was crying, by the way, when she told me those things, because it was very emotional, the whole thing. And anyway, she told me that the other day, she's meeting amazing people. The other day, she met another doctor, slash nurse or whatever, man. And she was saying, hey, let's take care of that, whatever. And then they had a break, and she asked him, hey, what about you? What are you doing here? What's your story? And the guy told her that he is diabetic. He's been taking care of sick people for weeks too. And then when he comes back home, he needs to be very careful with washing his hands and anything, because he has a daughter with asthma. So if she gets contagious, I mean, if she is contagious with the coronavirus, she would be in big, big trouble. Because yeah, naturally, she has difficulties in breathing. And not only that, the guy told her, my sister, that he has not seen his mom for weeks because he's in another nursing home. And he hopes that someone is taking care of her. Because he cannot. I mean, he's a doctor. He's taking care of, I think it was another city or whatever. And then my sister was telling me, look at this guy. Diabetes. Daughter with asthma, I cannot see my mom, but the world needs me. All people that I don't know need me. And then I join as a volunteer to help people out, to clean the beds, to just empty, you know, the bedpans, to change the sheets, to wash people, to just whatever. I'm here to help. Again, another instrument. You see, my Lord, the world in this situation can be a great opportunity for me. Never ever in human history we have been so connected, which means that the truth after this coronavirus crisis, the truth of the gospel can be spread faster than ever. If we are generous, if we pray, and if we take the church in our hands. Maybe that's, I make the joke to you guys, share with the church. And it's a joke because I'm asking for food or whatever, or drink. But let's share with the church deeply what is going on here, because it's really, let's share the responsibility of the church. And again, Father, I'm not special. You are. You are, because you know Jesus Christ. That makes you very special, very unique. And Jesus, I'm sure that you want to use me. Thank you, my Lord, even if I'm a donkey, I'm nobody. We couldn't go to Rome this year with Justin, Edwin, and the seniors. We would have been right now there. So it's a pity. But anyway, we will go next year. But if you go to Rome, you can go to museums and see a lot of art, pieces of art. One of them that is breathtaking is the Pietà by Michelangelo Buonarroti. And it's a statue, natural size, where you can see Mary, beautiful. She's young and very attractive, humanly speaking. And she has Jesus, dead, in her arms. And it is a piece of art. It's a masterpiece. Because Mary is very young in the picture, in the sculpture, and Jesus is also kind of at peace, you know, dead but at peace. So the whole thing is it helps you to pray a lot. And the amazing thing is that statue, which is big and is two human figures, was made just in one shot, and in one shot, in kind of one block of marble. So Michelangelo, it's not that he did, you know, the arm here and then he glued it and then the head and then, okay, Jesus is here and then they put it over Mary. No, it was just a whole block of marble. And then Michelangelo, you cannot make mistakes. If you just imagine that you start with a block of marble and you need to put two, you know, Mary here and Jesus. And then he started, you know, doing the thing with the sizzle and no, there's no room for mistakes. If you go too deep and suddenly, oh, there's no way back. You cannot delete, and no, it's just one shot. And he said the image was already there. He was asked at the end, hey, how did you do that? And he said, it's very simple. The image was already there. I just needed to take away the things that were disturbing the image. Easy to say, because what it means is that he saw it inside the block. He saw the possibilities of that block. An awful, just an ugly block of marble, there's nothing, but he saw inside the image, and he just take it out, so to speak, through his art. Apply this to your heart. Jesus, you're marble. I am marble, Jesus, for you. And you see something inside me. And maybe I focus too much on the material that I am made of, like, okay, I'm marble, or I'm rock, I mean, I'm just ugly. You're not. I'm not flattering you. I'm telling you that God sees something special inside you, something really special. He sees the image of God the Father. He sees your generosity, your heart, your wounds, your scars, for your sins, for your failures, whatever. He sees everything, but he sees the beauty of your life. If you want to, if you feel like a donkey, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. We're all donkeys here, and we're happy of being a donkey. As Saint Jose Maria said many times, I feel like a donkey or like a dog. That's a beauty. Saint Jose Maria said sometimes, I feel like a dog when I pray. I just am accompanying Jesus. You see, there's something that you can do. I can do it, Jesus. I don't need to be special. I am a donkey, I am a dog, but I want to accompany you to love you. And Jesus says, I love it. That's enough. I love you. Bring him to me. Bring him to me, like in the gospel. I need it. Let's go to the Blessed Virgin Mary. If you feel sometimes, at least, worthless, if you feel lost, or you feel nobody, irrelevant for human history or for the history of the Catholic Church, go to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. I will obey. I will be here for whatever you need. And then she was there. Maybe you can go to Mary, my mother, I want to go to you. And with your heart, with your personality, to say, Jesus, I am the handmaid of the handmaid of the Lord. I'm the servant of the handmaid of the Lord. I want to do whatever you ask me. I want to be here to accompany you, to be changed by you, and to bring you out to the world, to my friends, to my family, on my shoulders, like a donkey. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
Holy Mary, our hope, seat of wisdom,
pray for us.